enticed and persuaded. You want to be real careful because that can be good or bad. I want you to remember Satan's words in the garden. He said to Mother Eve, he said, "Is it true that God told you you could not partake of the trees of the garden?" She said, "Oh yes, we can partake of the trees of the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden." You know what Satan said? "Ah, nah. Won't hurt you. As a matter of fact, if you'll partake of that tree, you'll gain knowledge and wisdom. Your eyes will be open. And you'll be as gods." You know, those were enticing words, and that was persuasion, and unfortunately she fell for it. Okay. In the Greek, we have pytho and pythos, which is enticed and persuaded. It's both practically the same word in Greek, means the same thing. And it's something you want to be aware of, but the most important of all is the mystery of God. Don't ever let anyone entice you away from that. In the simplicity in which he brought it to you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the teachings of Paul. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "And I, brethren," and that's emphatic, okay, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come as some fancy Dan orator or some great preacher. I came to you with facts." Okay, that's what he's saying. And he's playing back to verse 17 of the first chapter, which reads, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words," that's to say men's words, "lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." That's what it comes down to. And that's what it hinges on. That's what it's based upon. But there's a reason, and you've got to know and understand that reason, and that's what this lecture is about. Enticed and persuaded. I don't want anyone to ever be able to entice you or persuade you away from the truth. And the truth is what? God's word. Not my word, not some other man's word, but God's word. You pay attention to it, you stay focused, and don't ever let anyone pull you away from it. Verse 2 of that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, many would say, "Well, that's pretty simple." No, it isn't. What do you know about the crucifixion of Christ? Do you know who did it? Then you don't know. Do you know why? Then you don't know. So when you teach Jesus Christ crucified, you teach a great deal. You teach why, when, and where. What was the purpose? And there are so many things that feed into that, including your salvation, your life eternal, and your ability to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Okay. That's what it extends to. That's why he said, "I don't come preaching some fancy message. I come teaching Jesus Christ crucified, why he was crucified, where he was crucified, who did it, and what this has to do with the mystery of God." And we're going to cover it today. Okay? Verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling." As a man, Paul had a weakness. He was taken to the third heaven, and God put a little cuckoo bar under his saddle that gave him much discomfort. A lot of people say, "Well, what was that?" Well, I feel it was his eyesight, but be that as it may. What he was saying, "I came just as a man, not feeling quite up to the task of what maybe I should," because, see, Paul never quite forgave himself for persecuting the church. Man, he gave Christianity a hard go of it. And he repented of it. And he was a very humble man that he gave and dedicated his total life after that to serving the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching him Jesus Christ crucified. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing. There's that word entice. I didn't try to entice you. Vipo. Words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, that's to say the Holy Spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is power. It's power in your life today. It's God's authority for you to declare that that is evil away from you, and it must flee. So that is that power. Now, I didn't come with some man's philosophy or wisdom of the world. I came with you with Christ crucified, teaching the real truth, and in the simplicity in which he brought it forth. So, again, watch enticing words. There's a lot of them out there. And oh, how some people like to have them fall on their ears. Pleasing men. Men pleasers. You want to please God. Okay, that's what's important. Anyway, if you don't please him, you're in a heap of hurt. You're not going to receive any of his blessings. That's for certain. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is to say, the foolish wisdom of men. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Make that mature. Okay, nobody's perfect. The word in the Greek is mature. Among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, this world age, that is to say, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now, what is this princes plural of this world? Then let me ask you, who is the prince of this world age? It's Satan. So who are his princesses, his sons? The Canaanites. Let there be no mistake about that. So what did he say? But we speak the wisdom of God, wisdom of this world age, nor the princes, that is to say, the Kenites of this world, that come to naught. It'll end you up with naught every time. Do you know how much naught is? Exactly that. Nada. Okay? Now I'm in Spanish, aren't I? Zero. Nothing. That's how to come to nothing, is to follow their teachings of this world age. That word is eon in the Greek, not terra firma or eretz, meaning soil. Verse 7, listen carefully. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Before this world age, God had this plan. And this mystery came forth, and it had to do with those Kenites. It had to do with Satan. And again, this goes back to Christ crucified. You want to keep that in your mind. It has a great deal to do with it. All right? For the simple reason, this mystery of God is a very simple thing. Jesus told you in Matthew 13 what it consisted of, been kept secret since the foundation of the world. The katabo in the Greek, the overthrow of Satan. That Satan came and planted a seed on this earth, and it's called the tares, which are these little princes, all right? Verse 8, listen carefully. Which none of the princes of this world knew, didn't care. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is he saying here? Well, that's the mystery. Okay. It lies within that. If they had known what they were bringing down on their head, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what they did in accomplishing that was to bring death to Satan, whose name is death, to their own father, so to speak. Had they known what they were really doing, but they didn't, and there would be no way that you could convey that, but we'll document it before we finish this lecture, this mystery and this purpose of Christ crucified. Who did it? You've already learned that. He told you right here. Those that would stand in the background and cry out when someone said, well, let him go. No, crucify him! They would shout. And that mob saw that the nails were driven, the spikes, into the Lord Jesus Christ. And that crucifixion transpired. But if they had known what it would cost them, they actually brought about Satan's death in so doing this. Why? Well, Emmanuel, Christ with us, is God with us. And now that they have seen no trouble or came to the conclusion to murder God, then God has no problem doing away with the Kenite, those that would continue to follow in that. That is to say, Satan. In other words, God is totally fair always. And that's what they brought down on their own head, a sentence. You pass a sentence on someone and God usually turns that on you. You understand? Okay, let it go. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. You know, you can't imagine. You may think things are rough on this earth. They're really not if you'll use the power that God gives you to succeed, to be successful, to be somebody. You won't have any problems in doing it. Let me rephrase that. If anybody gives you any problem, you know how to take care of business. Okay? Can-do type people. So that's what it amounts to. Okay? But you cannot imagine what God has set aside for those that love Him and that follow Him in the eternity. What a wonderful time it's going to be. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That is to say, the mystery that He would reveal. The mystery, the hidden to some, but not to you. For you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And you not only hear, but you're a doer. You're a doer of that word. And that pleases your Father. That's why He wrote this letter to you personally. So you'd know what to do. So that you could follow Him. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, you can't read somebody else's mind. You might make a guess at it. You might take a whack at it. But you can't read somebody else's mind. God can. And the Holy Spirit does know the mind of God, whereby that Spirit that communes in you can relay or discern those things that you're supposed to know in your care, in your knowledge, and as you go forward. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, all heavens know. It's bad news. But the Spirit which is of God, that's the Holy Spirit again, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you? Have you dug them out? That's a gift. Okay, He freely gives you truth if you'll search it out. Talking to the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit. Again, that's why He wrote the letter to you. You lazy? Never quite get around to it? Well, why couldn't you set just a little bit of time aside each day for your eternal life? Does it mean anything to you? Of course it does, and that's why you do it. You bring His Word into your life. Everything in moderation and everything for your appetite. Different people have different appetites. Some people can study 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And some can only study an hour, and then you might as well forget it. They're loaded. That's it. Don't ever overload somebody's donkey. All right? It'll drive them away from the Word. So everything in moderation and common sense. But the Holy Spirit leads. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Or let me translate that for you, interpreting spiritual things with spiritual truth, with facts, spiritual facts. That's the way you do it, okay? Always get down to the facts of God's Word. That is spiritual. 14, but the natural man, kind of the unbeliever, okay, man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They'll laugh at God. Take God's name away from me. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, and he doesn't have spiritual discernment. You do. You can discern the mind of a person if they're in the Spirit to a degree as to whether they're truly following the Lord God or whether they're having the way of the world. And boy, this world is getting so pitiful that it doesn't take long to figure it out. Okay. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The word is discerns all things. We're not to judge, okay? Yet he himself is judged of no man or discerned of no man. Why? Because he's a family of the Holy Spirit. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because you can discern, and he can discern, and he can lead you and talk to you, and will use you if he can trust you, if you have the faith, if you truly want to serve him. Then there have been times in your life that you've wondered, why am I doing this? Well, I can tell you, most often, especially if it's from the Father, if it's from somebody else, we might have a talk, okay? But if it's from the Father, I can tell you why you might wonder why you were there and why it went that way. Always in your favor, usually. Because God's in control. Enticing words. Let me talk you into this. Listen, you don't listen to somebody that would tell you you have to learn God's letter to you. Don't you know why? I'm teasing now, okay? I'm using slang of the world or ways of the world, what somebody that's a false teacher might tell you. You don't have to read Revelation or worry about it. Don't you know why? You're going to be gone. Mercy. Would you be stupid enough that you would let a man tell you you didn't have to listen to God? I would hope not. Because God named it Revelation, because it means to reveal or to make known, because he wants you to know it. Because it's important. It's part of the mystery. It's where you go to work. It's what he wants to use you for. But there are many false teachers into the world. We want to help them all we can, okay, by straightening out what is mistaught so that people can properly discern and have God's Word uninterrupted, allowing the Word of God to flow as it should flow, to be interpreted and discerned as it should be discerned. Jesus Christ crucified. Who crucified him? Why did they do it? Because they had a message different than his. They wanted to bring you some doctrines, philosophies of men, okay, that are in the ways of the world. They wanted to destroy the truth. And you know something? They never stop whittling at it. They never stop working at it. But you have the Word with you in your heart, in your mind, your body, your soul, as long as you have that Spirit in your soul, which is the living Word. And God gives it to you freely, as it was written, as a gift, as long as you'll work at it. But you've got to do the work first. And then he blesses you with it. He knows what you have need of, and he will gladly provide it. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Let's go with Colossians chapter 2 again. We'll go there. Colossians chapter 2. Paul again speaking, okay? This is a fantastic chapter because it tells you, we're not going to cover it in this lecture, but it tells you what was nailed to the cross. In other words, what Christ fulfilled that he became. He became our Sabbath. He became our holy day. He became our holy day. Why? Holy days were to bring you rest. Sabbath means rest. That's what the word means. You're not going to find any rest outside of Christ. Okay. When you take him into your heart and your mind, your body, your soul, you're going to find rest. Find peace of mind. Where you're at peace with the world, whereby you understand. Chapter 2 of the great book of Colossians, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. That's justice of the people, what Laodicea means. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, says, I have a concern. And again, that I is emphatic. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. I want you to know that mystery. There's nothing, it is so simple. And he says, I'm concerned about you drifting away from that. Why would he be concerned? Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not part of it, all of it. All wisdom comes from your Father. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is the beginning of knowledge of loving God, your Father. He is your Father. Verse 4. And this I say, listen carefully, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. There's that word, typos again. Enticing. Come up and whisper in your ear. It won't hurt. It'll be okay. You don't have to even listen to God's word. You're going to be gone. Watch it, my friend. Enticing words come in many forms. But the word of God is the word of God. Period. Don't be beguiled as Eve was in that garden. Verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, family, friends, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Your faith is important, beloved. Don't ever let it waver. And the way you keep it from wavering is to not be enticed or led astray by some individual. When you have the Word of God to discern God's Word, not some man's. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In your daily life, talk to him. You know, when you got trouble, tell him about it. Okay? Ask and receive. Let him know you have a problem. You don't even have to do it out loud if it embarrasses you. He can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking. And you can always pray. I don't care who you are. You don't have to pray out loud. Nobody knows you're praying. Talk to him. Every day in your life, he loves you. He may not love what you do sometimes, I know that, but he does love you. And he wants you to serve him in your daily life. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, you're solid in Christ crucified. You know who crucified him? You know why they crucified him? You know what the outcome will be and the overall purpose. And you're solid. You stay there. Okay. Verse 8, listen carefully. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Do you know what this word rudiments is? It's the elements. It's called stuchion in the Greek. It's the elements and the rudiments that are destroyed on the day that Christ returns with fire. So you really wouldn't want to go there if you know the truth of what they are. But Pastor, you don't understand. Sometimes philosophy is so sweet. It sounds so encouraging. It's sweet talk. Don't let somebody sweet talk you into hell, okay? Because that's where you're going if you listen to sweet talk that is contrary to the Word of God. God always taught through the apostles and the prophets in such a simple way that a child can understand. You don't have to worry. They know. And they follow. And they are established. And you can't con them. And they know they can't con God. And God protects them. God looks over them. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't ever forget that. Well, isn't the Holy Spirit part of the Godhead? You got it. His Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You don't go any higher than that, my friend. You want to stand against the fiery darts of Satan? Be his servant. Be Christ's servant. He has the power and the authority. And do you know something? You might say, well, how do I know for sure that he'll watch over me? Haven't you ever heard the parable of the shepherd? He is our shepherd. If he had 100 sheep, 100 of them, and you're that poor, miserable little wretch that gets lost and goes astray, and it's cold, and it's stormy, and it's bleeding, and the wolves of the world after it, who do you think goes after, leaves the 99 and goes after the one? That one is you if you have that trouble. He's got time for you when you're established in him. He's not going to let somebody pick on you and get away with it. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say he wouldn't let somebody pick on you. I said they can get away with it. He fixes wagons, okay? If you don't know what that terminology means, let me give you another. He cleans plows, okay? All right, and so he does. Go with me to the book of Galatians. I'm backing you back up here, right before Ephesians, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I'm sorry. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to take you to chapter 1, Galatians. Verse 6. You all are lucky. I forgot my watch. I have no idea how long I've been teaching, but I won't hold you too long. Verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1. And incidentally, chapter 5 goes real good with this, okay? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul said, I can't believe that you've lost your faith that quick. Just doesn't make sense. Verse 7, which is not another. It's not another gospel. Do you know why it's not another gospel? There is no other gospel. Only the gospel of Christ. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They're always there, friend. You don't want to get set for that. Don't let it discourage you. You know, you can cut it, but I just hate to have trouble. Well, take care of it first, okay? Take care of the hardest one first, and get it behind you, and then the rest of your day will go just fine. Okay? Verse 8. But though we, that means Paul included, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And they are. I'm going to tell you what, there's some people feeling some mighty, they better have asbestos shoes the way they're going and breeches to boot. False teaching is not a fond thing for our Father. He does not like it. They're accursed, in other words. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I again. I'm going to repeat it over and over. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that than ye have received, let him be accursed. I want you to know that real good. Let it be clear. Who's going to do that? God is. Listen, God loves his children. That little old sheep that he went after leaving 99, do you think he's going to let somebody get away with picking on his children? You better believe he is not. And if somebody comes along with another gospel trying to mislead them, do you think they're going to amount to something? No. God will take care of their wagon, okay? Verse 10. For do I now persuade men? There's that word persuade. Just listen to me. This is in a good sense, okay? This is pythos instead of thought, okay, in the Greek. Do I now persuade men or God? Question. Or do I seek to please men? Question. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You're never going to be able to please all the people. That's where a lot of ministries just fall in the ditch. We just want to be loved by everyone. How about Satan? I don't think so. You know, you either are disciplined, you have discipline in your church, you have discipline in your family, or you've got trouble. Okay. The very word disciple means discipline. You've got to discipline yourself. You know when something's a no-no. That's no. That's how you discipline yourself. Well, I don't want to pay the price. Then good. Don't do it. If you feel lucky, hey. In other words, there's always a price. Okay? But discipline yourself and discipline your family with love, of course. And sometimes tough love is tougher than can be. It always hurts the enforcer more than the receivee, all right? But that's what God in your home is. It's order. It's love. It's understanding. Most of all, it's truth. And you have a family that's going to be with him forever. Verse 11, but I certify you, I swear to you, he's saying, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Didn't get it there. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was on the road to Damascus, and Christ struck him down. I mean, he was an abuser of the Christian church. Christ struck him down, blinded him, and talked to him, led him, used him. Paul was already a zealous student of God's word, but Christ directed him and straightened him out. He knows it, and so it is. He received that message from Christ. And you might say, well, instead of all that time of study, like I said, Paul was a deep student. He knew more languages than all the other apostles put together. Okay, he could speak Roman, Greek. He spoke colloquial Greek. Hebrew, he was an expert. And Aramaic, he could, Syriac, he could just pour forth. He was a fantastic individual. So it is with you. Study to show yourself approved, using the Word of God to find your way. The answers are here. You know, you can pay for a counselor all the money in the world, and you'll never be able to pay for a counselor as wise as this one, or that will lead you as successfully as this one will. And it's his gift to you. It's free. It's your gift for you taking. Okay? Okay, to conclude, go with the book of Hebrews. This is why you teach Jesus Christ crucified. The great book of Hebrews, chapter 2. This is why the Kenites messed up when they brought off the crucifixion. Big time. Okay? This is where Jesus Christ comes to you and he says, hey, you're in the flesh, and you experience the things of the flesh, so have I. I saw it fit to come down and show you, that's our Father speaking, I come down to show you how to do it, only to do it right. And that's what this is about, is Christ coming here in the flesh and to die on the cross. And the answer of why the Canaanites messed up when they crucified him and why it's important that you know the mystery that's hidden from the foundation of the world about the Kenite. Verse 11 of chapter 2, the great book of Hebrews. For both he that sanctifieth, I'm sorry, verse 10, let's go up to 10. For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation. He's the pioneer. Okay, he leads the way. But he did it in the flesh. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Do you know that? Emmanuel, God with us, now resurrected and now sitting at the right hand of God, is not ashamed to call you family because you believe, because you follow, because you are have a spiritual discernment to know that truth. Verse 12, these words Christ spoke on the cross while he was nailed to it. So from Psalms 22, which foretold the crucifixion, why he was crucified and so forth, okay? When he would cry those words on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Okay. These words were included within that, this 12th verse, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And that church moved from that cross to here, into wherever that word is taught, the true word. And again, this is scripture after scripture. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, another scripture. Behold, I am the children which God hath given me. That's he's going there from Psalms 18 to Isaiah chapter 12, back to Isaiah chapter 8, and then back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, just scripture after scripture. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Here's the reason, and this is why the Kenite messed up. That's why we came here. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's why it came to pass. That's why if they had known what they were doing, they would never have done it. Most likely. I don't know, they're kind of stupid. But be better than they. That's what they brought down on their head, is the destruction of Satan and death along with it when it goes into the lake of fire at the very end. That's your Savior talking, my friend. That's the mystery of Christ crucified. Teach it. Live it and understand it. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Is that the way you are? You're afraid of everything that moves? You don't have to be. You're a child of God. You know how to train yourself to protect yourself wherever you go. Okay. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, just like you, a man, a woman. Okay, by that I mean he was in the flesh. Wherefore, in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's the other part. You know, when you mess up, don't live with it. Repent. Be forgiven. It's gone. Don't ever bring it up again. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Do you understand what that means? It's a secure means guarantee. Those that are tempted, if you rightly divide that word, he can reach out with that eagle's wing and place it over you and protect you, that you have that comfort from your heavenly Father. Why? Because you're family. You're his child. He knows you, and you follow him. Teach, as Paul would say, I teach nothing other than Jesus Christ crucified. That covers a lot of ground. We covered a lot of it today, but not all of it. There's so much more beautiful ends to that. That's why he did that for you. Didn't have to. He could have came down as a mighty angel in a club. Okay. He could have been like Michael and come down, or Gabriel and had a horn. Okay, he didn't. Okay, because that's Gabriel's job. Okay, the trumpet shall sound, but he did it for you. And Paul wanted you to know, hey, I'm not coming in here speaking some fancy talks or pleasing men. I'm pleasing God. And this is the truth. Discern it. That's the way it is. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings and the truths, Father. We ask in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen, amen.
The mark of the beast on